we find ourselves on this planet, you're there. Your grace reaches everywhere. Thank you for the time when grace reached into Andrew's life and it woke him up and realised that he needed to change. So we thank you for a redeemed life that we're witnessing right here. Thank you for the gifts you've given him and for the way that he's passionate about opening up your word. So as we listen to what he has to say today, his insight and inspiration, and most of all what your word is saying to us individually, each one of us sitting here in this room right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit will give life to the seeds that are sown today, and something good will come out of it, and people will be able to move ahead one step at a time. And I thank you again for Andrew, and pray that your blessing will continue to be upon him right now as he shares your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Gary. I'm going to give you a heads up. On your seat is a little card. And at the end of my message, I'm just going to invite you to write on there something. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. You don't have to do anything except take it home, maybe stick it on your mirror, put it behind your bed. But something around how you want to encounter Jesus. What kind of Jesus encounter do you want this Christmas? So it'll be something along those lines. Hopefully you'll understand more by the time I'm finished. Hey, who suffers from, anyone suffers from FOMO here? FOMO? FOMO. Hey, FOMO's, it's hilarious, like FOMO's a thing. It's a real thing. It's not just made up on it's birthed on social media, I think. Here it is. The fear of missing out is a unique term introduced. Did anyone know when it first came out? 2004. There you go. I didn't join Facebook till 2009, but, you know, I'm slow at most things. I missed out. I didn't have the fear of missing out, so I joined Facebook 5 years after it started. And then extensively used since 2010 to describe a phenomenon. It's called a phenomenon observed on social networking sites. It eventually made it to the Oxford Dictionary. That's when you know you've made it, when you make it to the Oxford Dictionary. And of course, you know, the psychologists get involved. In 2013, British psychologists elaborated and defined it as, here we go, you ready? Pervasive apprehension. Is that what it feels like? Pervasive apprehension that others might be having a rewarding experience from which I'm absent. Isn't that disappointing? What do you, God, if you're brave enough this morning, you can share just a word. What do you have FOMO about, if you have FOMO? Anyone have FOMO about anything? Cake, that's fair. I have FOMO about potato chips. You think I'm joking? No one else wants to share this, okay. I'm fine. How do you know whether it's fun if you're not there? Love it, love it. Hey, I want to ask you this morning, if you don't have FOMO or have FOMO about something else, what should we have FOMO about? What should we have FOMO about? I've always had, for a long time now, a bit of FOMO about missing God. Because I just think God's always up to something, right? He's always doing stuff. And he invites us, but we can miss God. I think it's hard to miss God because he's really gracious and he's really persistent. And, you know, he knocks on your door usually more than once. But we can miss what he's doing sometimes. And we're just going to dig into the Christmas story a bit this morning. We thank you for the weird Bible reading. That was part of kids' time. That was excellent. Because you covered everything that I'm going to, all the passages I'm going to cover this morning. So it's great. Thank you. But I can overcome my fear of missing God, I believe, if I take three principles from the Christmas story. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So the first principle is, if I don't want to miss Christ this Christmas, I need to give something up. Sorry about that. Sorry, not sorry. Luke 2, 6 to 7, and we heard this in our story before. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, from what we understand from the inn, it wasn't super big, right? It was probably a bit of a house kind of thing, a house people, guest house kind of deal. But I wonder about this story, about the innkeeper. What was he thinking? Like, there was a census in Bethlehem, so he had a full house. His house was overflowing. So it's easy for Mary and Joseph just to be seen as just another couple of travelers and Jesus as just another baby. So here's the innkeeper. He's going, "Oh, mate, I'm full. Don't bother me." He missed it. We don't even get to know his name. If you notice in the Bible, like Rahab was a prostitute, right? In the Old Testament, Rahab was a prostitute. But when the Israelites showed up in Jericho, she said, she hid the spies. And she cried out for mercy. She said, "You know what? Can you save my life? Because we know and we're terrified of you guys. When you come and take over Jericho, can you save my life?" And you know what? Rahab's name made it into the genealogy of Jesus. God does not forget your name if you're prepared to put some time away aside for him. God does not forget your name if you're prepared to give up something for him. But we may never know the innkeeper's name because he couldn't be bothered to give up something. He could have given up his own room. But if he knew the God of the universe was in the form of a baby, maybe he would have given up his room. Maybe someone else in the guest house that night may have given up their room. When God asks you to give something up, I encourage you to give it up because you never know what he's got in store for you. And if you don't give it up, you don't know what you might be missing. I don't know if you heard Joyce Meyer tell this story. It's hilarious. Well, it's not really. She preached a message on love, right? Love, you know, love is, you know, having other people's best interests in mind. And after the session she taught on love, there was two ladies in the foyer at her bookstore fighting over the last copy of the CD series on love. Well, they obviously needed to listen to the message again, didn't they? Well, she has another story, right, of two ladies, suppose, I don't know, Christian ladies going to a Christian conference, because Joyce Meyer is all about Christian growth. So a lot of her, not all the people that come to her conferences are Christian, but a lot are. And she said, There's two ladies that sat in the same seat during a whole session because they believed it was their seat. How dumb can we be? Hey, I love that mental picture. It's my seat. So they both sat in the seat. That would have looked awkward, wouldn't it? Friends, be careful because selfishness knows no limit to getting its own way. Hey? One of the most powerful things I've ever seen was in 2003, and Greg Laurie was out for a big evangelistic conference in Newcastle, and he'd invite you know, your friends who don't know Jesus yet, and the place was packed this night, and he was given a gospel message. He said, "If you're a Christian tonight and you know the Lord Jesus, could you give up your seat so someone who may not know Jesus be able to come and have your seat?" And hundreds of people walked out of the Newcastle Entertainment Centre. Wow. Hey, how good is that? How good is that? Are we prepared to give up something if God asks us? I'm not saying give up stuff randomly, like sometimes it's just silly. But if God asks us to give up something, there's probably a reason that we'll find out later if we actually give it up. But if we don't give it up, we may never know what we've missed out on. All right, principle number two. To overcome my FOMO of missing God, I seek him urgently. I love this, right? Here we go to the shepherds. When the angels had left them gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, the shepherds in those days were the kind of the outcasts, right? They were the lowest of the lower society in a lot of ways. And so God, you know, if you ever feel left out, you need to just check out the Bible and see what God says. He doesn't leave anyone out. He goes to the shepherds first. Whose society went to last, God went to first. Do you get the picture? We never need to feel left out. We never need to experience FOMO because God's probably come to you first. Don't worry about what you're missing out on, because if you follow God, you won't miss anything. You get more than you could ever imagine you could possibly get. The shepherds were just there looking after some sheep in the paddock, and God showed up. Wow. So they hurried off. I love the response of the shepherds, because, you know, sometimes we make these kind of responses. Oh, maybe we should check this out. Or, we haven't got time today, maybe tomorrow. Imagine if the shepherds said that. Or, we'll be passing that way on Friday, maybe we can pop in then. Or, oh, well, I can't leave this sheep. It's a very important job I have looking after these sheep. They could have given any one of those excuses or more. You know, when God prompts our heart to go and go now, how often do we sometimes make excuses? They said, let's go. And we read that they hurried off. You know what? I'm all one for boundaries, you know that. If you know me well, set boundaries, know how to say no. But there is a right time to drop everything and run. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Yeah, honestly, and I want to celebrate this. I want to celebrate Haley and Willie and everyone else that's in recovery in this place, because I know people. I ministered with a family up in Bolton Point years ago, right? Buried their mum at 48, right? And the family had all kinds of addiction issues. I still know the youngest, well, not the youngest son, third youngest son lives up in Port Macquarie. I'm still in touch with him. He still grieves the loss of his mum, but also his brother, who was found dead in a tent in Sydney from a drug overdose. We don't continually get second chances. So today is a day of salvation. You could say today is a day of recovery. Today is a day when things can change. Does that make sense? Don't wait till tomorrow. So you could go outside and get hit by a piece of roofing iron. Hey, is that true? Tomorrow is not promised, and that's why God says today, give your life to Jesus Christ, because you may not have tomorrow. Hey, if the shepherds hadn't shown up, they may not have got a second chance. I don't know. But they weren't prepared to take that risk. They hurried off. They dropped everything and ran to check out Jesus. And I'm pretty sure they didn't regret it. I don't live with a lot of regrets. I really don't. But I do have one. When I was an apprentice, and you may have heard me tell this story, I think I have told it once before, but it's worth, because it had a significant impact on my life. I was a first-year apprentice, and there's a guy called Shane. He was a second-year apprentice. And Shane was like, how do you describe Shane? Like, he just had everything going for him. So he's a second-year electrical apprentice. He's studying electrical engineering at uni, and he passed, you know. And then, you know, he's doing more hours doing security at night than he was, you know, doing as an apprenticeship. And in between that, he's going to the gym. He looked like a brick toilet, and he's just a big guy, right? And so he taught me how to do go down the gym and do bodybuilding. I haven't been doing it for a few years, just if you're wondering. But Shane was amazing, right? And he saved up all his holidays for the end of his apprenticeship. And this one Friday afternoon, I was working with Shane. We used to play, he used to play the tradesman, I'd play the apprentice. Those days, you know, dodgy. Anyway, But we knew what we were doing, and there was a hot water. You know, it's Friday afternoon. Someone's hot water system died, and they said, "Who can go and do this hot water system?" So Shane goes, "Oh, go." I said, "Oh, I'll help him." And so we went out and changed over a hot water system together. And I'd always wanted to share my faith with Shane. Well, on the following Tuesday morning, I showed up to work to find out he'd been killed on his motorbike. He never got to take his holidays. And as I sat in the Catholic church and they played Little Drummer Boy at his funeral, I didn't know if he knew Jesus or not. I hoped he did. And I still don't know. But if I'd had the conversation I believe I was prompted to have, I wouldn't have that regret today. Does that make sense? What are we waiting for, friends? Tomorrow? A better day? There's some things we're not meant to wait for. There is a right time to hurry off and do what God's asked us to do. I encourage you to do quickly this Christmas what God puts on your heart. And the third principle I believe we're going to find in a Christmas story to avoid missing God is to go the distance. To go the distance. You know, Christianity doesn't work in a microwave. You know what I mean by that? 10 seconds, beauty. It's long and can be hard and it costs something. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So it's, you know, the three wise men. Don't know how many there was, but the wise men that brought gifts, right? The interesting point about the wise men is that they probably had less, they may have known they're from the east, right? So it could have been Babylon, Persia, somewhere there. And they could have had, because when the Jewish people were taken captivity in Babylon, Daniel was made one of the high guys in the country, and so he would have been taught the Jewish scriptures. So they may have had some knowledge about a king that was going to come one day. So they may have had some background knowledge. But they didn't have the kind of knowledge of the Jewish people in Israel at that time, right? So you got all these Jewish religious people who made out, you know, they knew the scriptures back to front. They knew the Bible back to front, and they missed Jesus. Here were these guys from another country that just saw a star and said, you know, well, that's really interesting. Let's check it out, right? And they traveled, and we're not sure how far. Some people say a day. Sometimes it was days. Who knows how far they traveled, and they paid the price to go and suss out what was going on. Here's people, you know, Bethlehem, Jerusalem's not far away, all these religious people around. They missed it. But these guys traveled and paid a price. I believe we must be willing to seek until we find the person of the scriptures, Jesus. Like wise men, even though it took time, money, humility, they didn't know if they're going to find anything or not, even danger. I mean, Herod, these guys, you know, weren't necessarily God-believing people at the time. And they had a dream. God gave them a dream to go back the other way and avoid Herod going back that way. Isn't that interesting? God spoke to them, said, go this way, don't go that way. Because they were open, they were seeking. The Jews had knowledge, but for them, the day of Jesus' birth was just another day. They missed it. So too for those of us who may have, it's just another Christmas to endure or to celebrate. I don't know how you see Christmas. We may have heard all the stories, we may have sung all the carols, and we're most at risk of enduring just another Christmas. But maybe this Christmas, if you do not have the joy of Christmas and the awe of what really happened in your spirit, maybe we need to go to great lengths this year to make sure we don't miss the significance of this event. Interesting. Do you ever count years? Do you do that? Is that a normal thing as you get older? You count the years, or is that a bad thing to do? I don't know. I do it. I'm a bit chronological, so I do it, right? So it seems a long time ago, but 32 years ago, 32 years ago, I left everything I knew and drove 1,000 kilometres. And, you know, I had a good friend told me, why would you go to Swansea? There's nothing there. I was quite excited to find that they had a Coles. That was before they had a Macca's. I was actually excited to find they had electricity. I mean, I'd hardly been out of southeast Queensland, so I didn't have a clue what was at Swansea, and I'm getting this bad information, you know. Isn't it funny? When God directs you to do something, you always have some, sometimes they're even your friends who are just talking nonsense. Be careful who you listen to, friends. Because I could have been discouraged and put off by some people that I actually trusted to do the thing that God had asked me to do. And I spent 9 months seeking God in this Bible school thing. But you know what? It changed the trajectory of my life. I sometimes ponder on if I hadn't done it, and it's sometimes good to ask those questions, if I hadn't done it, praise God, I'll never know. And I know that that's a testimony of many people here, that you've given up significant things to follow Christ. And it's really cost you. But like me, you wouldn't change a thing, because we can't outgive God. I can't put a price on the sense of purpose and fulfillment that I've experienced in the last 32 years. You can't put a price on that, friends. To know why you're on the planet. It's worth going the distance, actually. I'd say it's more than worth it. So, you have a little card on your seat. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And how do you want to, do you want to encounter God this year? How do you want to encounter Him? See, God wants to encounter you. That's what Christmas is all about. God wants to show up at your house this Christmas. He just wants to know if He's invited. Weird when weird things pop into your head, you got to take notice of them. When I was a kid, we used to sing this chorus, into my heart, Lord, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And at 9 years of age, I went forward in a church service like this. My auntie took me forward because I was like nine and scared of everything. I knelt down at a mercy seat like that. And she led me to Jesus. And you know what? I had no theological explanation of what happened that day, but I did have an amazing experience. I just asked Jesus into my heart. That's all I did. And my life changed, just like we've heard testified about this morning. This morning, I want to encourage you that if you say, Lord Jesus, I want to encounter you this Christmas. I don't care about the tinsel and the presents and the food and even, you know, I care about family, but not as much as connecting with you. You know, because it says if we put Him first, all the other stuff will fall into place. So this morning as we, I don't know, if you want to come and pray, you can do that. If you want to stand and worship, you can do that. If you want to kneel and pray, you can do that. But if it's helpful for you to write on your card this morning, because, you know, God doesn't need a second invitation. You say, Lord, I just want to encounter you this Christmas. Lord, I want to encounter you. You know, you might want to say how. You might want to leave it up to Him because sometimes surprises are good. But keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes open for Jesus this Christmas. Keep your eyes open for Jesus today of how He might want to encounter you right now, today. In Jesus' name.